Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And we like to speak around the theme, wake up, daughter. He's altogether lovely. Ask you to pray for me. Pray with me. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he's altogether lovely. And this is my beloved. And this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Wake up, daughter. He's altogether lovely. How is your love life? How is your marriage doing? How is your relationship developing? How long will it last? Did you vow till death do us part, or till divorce do us part? How is your love life? How do things look as far as your relationship is concerned? Who or what keeps your marriage going? You think that the soap operas or the soaps will give you what you need to keep your relationship? You think the gossip of your friends will keep it going? Maybe some magazine that you pick up on a newsstand. How's your love life? When you come home, when you greet the one you say you love, it's a big yawn. You're half asleep. How is your love life? We need to ask some questions about it. You know, there are many different types of love and many things going around under the name of love. It really isn't love. You know that you have the all kinds of love. You have love, parents for children, and brotherly love. Amen. You have erotic love. You have phileo love. And agape love. All kinds of love. Amen. Fish loves the worm. But only until he's eaten it. How's your love life? And there's many things going around under the banner of love that's really not love. There's exploitation in the name of love. There's deception. There's desertion, obsession, oppression, getting over on people. And some of us will call that love. Well, how is your love life? the idea of love and marriage and that stuff comes from God. And he arranged it to be so in a certain setting, under certain conditions. And if the conditions are met, then the relationship will flourish. But man wants to take it out of its context and expect it to work. I wouldn't expect to take the engine out of my car and expect it to run right. But that makes more sense, trying to run your car without an engine than to run your marriage without God. It's his design. Isn't that right? Now, I know I'm right. See, the husband was supposed to seek God's will and his word. And like Pastor Washington said, I know where I'm going. Amen. The husband was supposed to seek God's will and God's word. He was supposed to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then he's supposed to pour all that he's learned from God into his wife. And he was to use that to build her up. And she was supposed to dress up with the glory of his provision. Amen. See, in other words, same way a good husband will worry about clothing his family with natural clothes. See, the husband was supposed to go to God and provide, get the spiritual provision for his family. And he was supposed to dress her up with the will and the word of God and pour himself out. See, and she dresses up in the glory that comes from that relationship with the Lord. See, the same way he would go out to pick out a dress that would make her look nice. See, that she might be revealed to her greatest glory to the world. So the husband's job is to go to God's dress shop and come back with those spiritual virtues. And just as what she wears is to the glory of her husband in the natural world. See, spiritually, she should be dressed up in the provision that comes as he shares with her what he's found in God for her. So that after a while, the family is glorified in the love that they receive from God. See, he pours into her, she pours into the family, and the whole family gives the glory back to God, who has not only provided physically, but spiritually also. How's your love life? Now we have tried to destroy that context. See, the Bible said in the last days that men would come and say, you don't have to get married. That we don't have to go through all that. We just shack up and we'll call them shack rats, you know. And you don't have to go through all this. But let me just say this morning, if you pull it out of God's context, you don't get God's result. Now, you can grin at me all you want and act like everything is all right, but if it ain't God's way, it ain't going to be right. And you can act like you won't live in it. You can't be on top if it's not God's way. Amen. See, but some of us, amen, have made mistakes. Some of us have strayed, and our pattern of our love life does not exactly measure up right now to God's provision. I wish I had someone listening to me. But see, because of sin, there are many broken situations. Amen. There are singles and single parents and folks whose marriage is broken up and they back with somebody, all kind of foolishness. Amen. And it looks like nothing is right. But you see, he made provision. And so our love life may not be as perfect as we like it, but there's someone who loves you anyhow. And the hymn writer said, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Mama, you're going to be here a long time here today. One hymn writer says, I know the sweetest little word. Tis L-O-V-E, love. The sweetest word man ever heard is L-O-V-E, love. God's L-O-V-E, love, is wider than the sea. It reaches all, yes, even me. God's L-O-V-E, love. How's your love life? Things may not be right the way we like it to be on this earthly plane, but he's made provision. Amen. And the Song of Solomon is all about love. It's a book about God's deep, intimate love and concern for his people. Oh, I wish I had somebody praying with me this morning. See, it's a book that speaks about marriage, the relationship, and wedded love. Amen. Not for your boyfriend and girlfriend, but for your wife, for your husband. It's an intimate book, see. But see, the Bible says to know him is life eternal. Not knowing about him, but to have an intimate relationship with him is what salvation is all about. Oh, you don't want to talk back to me, but see, God was married to Israel. See, and in the book of Hosea, he speaks of his love for a people who were not really responding to his love the way they should. But he said, I'm married to Israel. And not only that, he knew what type of bride, a wife, he was married to. Israel took his blessings and spent it on her boyfriends. Amen. In other words, God bless you with eyes to see, legs to walk, and roof over your head, and you don't even thank him. But you think you got it because you were smart and got a master's degree and got a job, and so you give all the credit to your mental abilities. And God's saying, if I didn't give you the mind, you wouldn't be able to read your name, see? But, amen, see? God was married to Israel. Those are the Jews, see? And, see, the Israelites committed adultery. See, because they were married to God. Amen, see? But he would not write them a bill of divorcement. He says, I'm going to come after you anyhow because I love you. See, we're talking about the love of God. Now, the church is the bride of Christ. See, and we're on our way to a marriage, to a marriage, see, Israel, the Jews, were married to God. But the church is the bride of Christ. Amen. And we're on our way to a marriage. It's called the marriage of the Lamb. So we don't commit spiritual adultery. We commit spiritual fornication. See, because we're on our way to a consummation of this relationship. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:2, he says, I espouse you to one husband as a chaste virgin. I'm talking about the true church this morning. True church does not have a lot of boyfriends. They have one lover. His name is Jesus. Don't hang around with a lot of folks. They ain't seen everywhere. Because when my wedding day come, I don't want no junk in the congregation. I don't want no funny coughs and snickers when we walk down the aisle. Don't want to get caught up in anything that would make a mockery out of our wedding day. Paul says, I didn't give you a list of boyfriends. I gave you one lover. His name is Jesus. And then Paul said he's going to present to himself a church as a bride without spot or wrinkle. They're going to be dressed up in white in that day. Well, no funny business. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Well, in this book, see, God expresses his tender and intimate love for his people. Oh, yes, he does. And the story revolves around Solomon. See, he wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Now, see, Solomon had a vineyard, and he let it out to other folks. He rented it out for them to work it, but he was the owner. Now, this family was working in Solomon's vineyard. The father was deceased. He was dead. But there was a mother, two sons, and two daughters that were working Solomon's vineyard. Now, Solomon was king, but he owned the vineyard. And there was a little sister there, a little Shulamite maid. As I said yesterday, she was ugly. She worked hard. She was denied the privileges that others had. Her job was to keep the vineyard. She had no time for personal care. She pruned the vines. She set traps for the foxes. And she kept the flock. She worked so hard that she was sunburned. She was a little Shulamite woman. Now, Solomon came to his vineyard dressed as a shepherd. And he sees this girl, and she falls in love with him. And she, of course, falls in love with her. Now, she thinks that he is an ordinary shepherd boy. He courts her as a shepherd. And she has no idea who she's talking to, because he doesn't let her know all his business. She doesn't even realize who she is until the day of her wedding, when the procession came up and all this. She who was nothing and looked like nothing, all of a sudden she is the center of attraction. She's not just a Shulamite maiden. She's now the queen. Oh, you don't want to talk back to her. Well, see, the Lord Jesus came and he said, I'm the good shepherd. Amen. He said, I give my life for the sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Amen. He said, I am the door of the sheepfold. And if any man go by me, shall find pasture and all that. See, he courted us as shepherd. See, amen. You don't see him being voted in as president now. And he just come by every now, every once in a while. He bring a word and he lets you know that he care about you. See, because David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And so the Lord Jesus fulfills that. He provides. He plans for us. He leads us. He restores us. See, just as a husband would go to God for what he needs and shares it with his wife, so the Lord Jesus goes to the Father, gets what we need, and shares it with us. Somebody know what it been to be thirsty, and he's the living water. Someone here knows what it means to be hungry, not just natural food, but, you know, down on the inside, and find that he's bread for your weary soul. Amen. See, so he courts us as shepherd, and we still don't know who we are. John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Remember, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. See, we don't look like much now. We're working hard. We all beat up, hurting and sick and all that right now. But you see, he loves us anyhow. Amen. And so, but when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, so don't look at each other and get all caught up with how we look now, but wait till the procession arrives. Wait till we hear the shout, behold the bridegroom, man. That's when you want to get ready to put on your wedding clothes. Oh, my. See, so he comes back. And at that time, see, we'll be received by the groom, who's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll be taken to his chamber called the marriage of the Lamb, which will be consummated in heaven. Are y'all there now? A little deep. Now, I told you to pray. I asked you to pray. See, the trumpet going to sound. We'll be caught up to meet him. And in heaven, we're going to be with him there. See, it's called the marriage of the Lamb. It's in Revelation chapter 19. And you'll find that he has made us righteous. By his blood, he's done that. But the bride of Christ has also put on white. Just as a young woman would be laying aside for her wedding day. So we are so anxious to meet him that we lay aside and we're getting our garments ready to meet him. Amen. Now, when you get to chapter 5, because my time is slipping out, the young woman, the Shulamite maid, has been brought to the palace. Amen. And you see how she praises her groom. He's great. Chapter before that, chapter 4, he praises her. Oh, my, my, my. See, in other words, if you walk with him and talk with him, see, the Lord Jesus does not tear you down. He'll let you know why he loves you. It's something about you that he loved. Everybody's not a member of the church. Whole bunch of folks walk by this door, they're never going to get saved. But he looked through millions and chose you. And if you learn to spend some time with him, you'll find out that you're unique. You're one of his jewels. You go to make up his diadem, and you are a reflection of his light. And he's cutting facets in you so that the beauty that he sees in you will be reflected to the world that doesn't know you. See, you are beautiful, handsome in the Lord. And it's only when you don't allow him to talk to you that you start to have doubts about who you are and where you're going and who you belong to. But if you just get quiet sometime around his word, and let him go back and see where he brought you from that old dark dingy vineyard where you was working all day, to the palace. Now, as she's in the palace, something happens. The bridegroom knocks at the door. Another Sunday, we have more time, we'll go verse by verse. The bridegroom, it's the honeymoon, see. He knocks at the door, and she's drowsy and half asleep. And when she gets to the door to see who it is that knocks, he's gone. Because he's gone, her heart is broken. Are you there now? See, when they were courting, he would come to the vineyard and go, come and go. And, of course, she pined for him. He longed for her. Now they're married. He comes to the door and knocks. She's a little slow answering. When she gets to the door, he's gone. In her grief, in her sadness, she begins to run through the streets looking for her lover. As she runs in desperation, the watchers grab her and they scold her. And then they lead her back to the chamber and give her a word to wait till they come back. See, how is your love life? See, the lover of your soul wants to talk to you. You half sleep. Now, here's what it meant. All that the groom meant to his bride, all that the husband meant for his wife was there to be shared and enjoyed, but she was asleep. So what the picture is this. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus stands at the door and knocks. If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will come and sup with him, and he with me. See, we're gathered in his name. He is altogether lovely. He is here with all you need, ready for you. If you could just touch the hem of his garment, you'll be made whole. While he's standing beside you, you're dozing. You're asleep. So he has to tiptoe past you, lest he wake you up. And he will minister to those who are waiting. Now the watcher, who's the preacher, is his job to wake you up, to make you realize that the lover of your soul was knocking on your door. See, if you read the passage, she begins to talk about how lovely he is, how beautiful he is, but he's gone. See, now what we have to do is talk about him so that you would be encouraged to wake up and see him as being altogether lovely. So on Sunday morning, we come in, we have sleep, amen, and we're drowsy and cold, and no response. Now you notice some folks amening already, because they know he's altogether lovely. And he's ready to make love to you, because you know who he is. But the hard preaching is for the folks who sleep, because you have some needs that go beyond this service this morning. You got some problems that go beyond the worship this morning. And he is altogether lovely. See, if you know who he is, you don't need no preacher battling with you for an hour to find out who Jesus is. All we have to do is call his name, and you're ready to receive what you're looking for in him. Amen. But we have a good portion of the congregation have sleep. And the one who died for you, the one who loved you, is here with all sufficiency. And if you belong to him, if you're married to him, if you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, you need to wake up. Because this thing is till death do we part. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about it. So she looks at him, my time is gone. But she said, his mouth is most sweet. In the 5th chapter, 16th verse. See, the psalmist says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and a honeycomb. When you hear his voice, it's sweet. You remember when they were all afraid and storm is breaking out? He says, oh, ye of little faith. His voice brings comfort to a troubled soul. He speaks peace to the winds and the waves. His mouth is sweet. Look at Martha working in the kitchen, working herself to death. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Why don't you tell her, Jesus, I need her working in the kitchen? But Mary has chosen that better part. She just want to sit there and hear what he have to say, because his word is sweet. And I know my day is wrapped up in his word. If I can get a word at the beginning of the day, I know that everything's going to be all right. All I need is a word, I tell you. And he makes things all right. Amen. His word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. I don't know where I got to go or how I'm going to get there, but if I get a word from him, I know everything will be all right. Can I get a witness here? Sometimes you have to stay in his presence. Sometimes you have to rest a little bit, but you wait around till you get an okay from him, and you know everything's going to be all right. Jeremiah said, thy words were foul, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. My life was nothing, the girl could say, till he came by and he began to talk to me and told me how much he loved me. And his words gave me a future. He said, I want to marry you, girl. I want to share everything I have with you. I want to give my life to you. I want to pour everything I am into you, for better or for worse. All you had was a word. You believed it, and see where you are. And I came to him at just as I was. I was weary, I was worn, I was sad. All I had was a word. Thank God for Jesus. He honored that word. No, I'm not what I should be. Not what I ought to be, not what I could be, but I'm not what I used to be. Isn't that right? The bride looks at him and says, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved. Amen. That means he fills my life. That my life is submerged in him. I heard Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
I'm so glad that I'm in Christ. He's in me, and Christ in me is wrapped up in God. I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. He fills my life. He fills my life. So now it doesn't matter whether I'm up or down. Just to know him is all right. Just to have a relationship with him is all right. He walks with me. He talks with me. Good days, bad days, rainy days, sunny days. He's always there. Amen. And he's always the same. No change ups. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, she said, this is my beloved and this is my friend. And the Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God. Amen. And Abraham became a friend of God by just believing in him. Amen. Some of us are married and ain't friends. Amen. Some folks just fell in love, but they never got to be friends. But Jesus is a friend. He sticks closer than a brother. Hymn writer said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sin and grief to bear, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. See, when you have a friend, you can talk your business, and it don't go nowhere. You can talk about what's going on down on the inside and know that they're listening. I don't care what time of the day or night. You don't have to apologize for how you feel. You got a real friend. Can you say amen? He's my burden bearer. He's my heavy load sharer. At the midnight hour, he has a way of showing up. Isn't that right? Ask Paul. Ask Silas. They were in a prison, I tell you, at the midnight hour. Hey, he showed up on time. He come by to see about me. Wake up, daughter, because he's altogether loved. You've been slumbering too long. Now is not the time or the place to be asleep. The lover of your soul has knocked on the door. He's waiting for you to open up so he can bring all that he is and all that he has to lay at your feet. Isn't that something? The very Son of God loves us so much. He made us heirs and joint heirs with him. Love us so much that we are accepted in the beloved. That means he's doing everything he can do to show us how much he loves us. And we won't even ask him. We won't even reach out. We won't even thank him. He said, whatever you ask in my name, he said, I'll do it that the Father may be glorified. He said, I'm the vine. You're the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. Amen. According to the power that works within us. Isn't that right? For we are saved by grace. Saved by grace. Saved by grace. It's his love that keeps me going. I don't deserve it, but he loved me anyhow. When I go wrong, he loved me back to right. Can I get a witness? I called Peter this morning. Peter left him, went back down to his fishing. Didn't he do it? The lover of our soul went down to the edge of the lake. He went to Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me more than all? It's a love affair. It's a love affair. How's your love life? You got your ear caught, tied up with phone calls from boyfriends that don't mean you no good. One of them called electric bill, gas bill, mortgage, fear, anxiety, loneliness, lack of a future, don't know which way to go, and they just running their game down in your ear, and your heart is troubled, and you're standing and wondering which way to go. But you got a lover here this morning. His name is Jesus, and he's altogether lovely. You need to wake up. Wake up. Get up. Call him by his name. Because if you need it, God's got it. God's got it. You can get it. Can I get a witness here? Look. See? When you say that he's all together, you mean wholly, completely, entirely, totally, fully, across the board, from A to Z, absolutely, out and out. When he's all together, pardon me, you mean he's perfect, he's clean, he's right. I mean no exception. In all respects, he's all together. When he say he's lovely, means he's beautiful, he's comely, he's attractive, he's handsome, he's good looking, he's well proportioned, he's glamorous, he's winsome, he's fascinating, he's enticing, he's tempting, he's ravishing. He's altogether lovely. From A to Z, he's everything you need. That's why he don't point you to nobody else but himself. See, God can't recommend you to nobody but himself. If he recommended you to somebody else other than himself, the one he recommending you to would be greater than himself. So he can only recommend you to himself. And he's altogether lovely. Because we need somebody who's altogether lovely. We need somebody who go out of his way to look after us. We need somebody to build us up. We need somebody who can forget our past and give us a future. We need restoration. We need reassurance. We need company sometime. We need some takeout time. We need somebody who's responsive. We need someone to help us rejoice. We need somebody to find a way for us. We need somebody who's altogether lovely. And I'm so glad I can report this morning, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Can I get a witness here? Not that we were in love with God, but for some reason, he loved us, reached in his bosom, sent his Son to satisfy God's own demands. I'm so glad God commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at that love. He didn't wait for me to get better. But while I was yet in sin, he died for me. Isn't that something? Ain't he all right? John said, I'm writing. I got a letter here from Jesus Christ. I got a love letter. Who is faithful, the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin. In his own blood. He didn't just love us, but he come and took away our sin with his blood. I tell you, he's altogether lovely. He's all right. He listens. He leads. He fills. He sets me free. His name is Jesus. He's the Son of the living God. He's my bright and morning star. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the light of the world. He's the bishop of my soul. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's my Alpha and Omega. He's my beginning. He's my ending. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And I don't know why. I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why Jesus cared. I don't know why he sacrificed himself. But I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. So glad he did. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. He's my all in all. He's a lover of my soul. Yes, he does. He forgives. He comes by to see me. Hey. Not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, no, not one. But Jesus knows all about our struggle. He will guide us till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Hallelujah. 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 Praise his name. Praise his name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy. You're worthy. He's worthy. Praise his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Praise his name. He's worthy this morning. Wake up. Wake up, daughter. He's altogether lovely. Wake up, Jacob. Don't go to sleep in church. The lover of your soul promised that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, touching and agreeing, he would be as one in the midst. And whatever we bind on earth, he said he would bind in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, he would loose in heaven. Now's not the time to sit back and go to sleep. By his spirit, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. He promised to come by and see about us. Hallelujah. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into thy haven, God, O receive my soul at last. If you're troubled this morning, life is not working out for you, he'll carry you in his bosom. He'll put his arms around you. And in his own way, he'll make love to you. He'll keep you from falling. He'll take you through. As the choir sings this morning, we like to extend our invitation. The Lord Jesus is altogether lovely. He's perfect for every situation. We invite you to come. You'll have to come just as you are, without one plea. As the choir sings this morning, you're here. We invite you to come. You have to leave your seat and step out in faith, believing.